Turkey agrees to suspend its military offensive in Syria. The UK and the EU reach a draft Brexit deal. And Congress mourns the death of Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings.
Elijah Cummings was a giant who could unite a room, could make a point with an incredible speech that could make even the person who disagreed with him most just stop and think.
It's Thursday, October 17th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with Turkey's President Recep Erdogan in Ankara today and came out with a deal to stop the Turkish military action against Kurdish forces in Syria. In a press conference, Pence said Turkey had agreed to a five-day ceasefire to allow the Kurds time to withdraw from the region.
With regard to the YPG, the Syrian Defense Forces, we have been in contact today and we have received repeated assurances from them that they'll be moving out, that they greatly welcome the opportunity for a ceasefire to make a safe and orderly withdrawal from those areas in the safe zone where they still have a presence.
Shortly after the speech, Turkey's foreign minister denied that they're calling it a ceasefire, saying it was contingent on Kurdish forces withdrawing from the region. Pence said the U.S. will pull back on economic sanctions slapped on Turkey for launching the offensive last week after President Trump withdrew U.S. troops from the region. Trump has faced bipartisan backlash over that decision. Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney says the U.S. will host the Group of Seven summit at President Trump's Doral Resort near Miami next summer. That decision is facing heavy criticism from those who say it's a potential violation of the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The clause prohibits the president from reaping any personal financial benefit from foreign governments without Congress's consent. But Mulvaney told reporters the White House determined it was, quote, millions of dollars cheaper to hold the summit at the Doral over other locations.
We had talked about the possibility of whether or not the president could actually do it at no cost. They understand there's difficulties with doing it that way. But we also have difficulties, obviously, if they charge market rates. So they're doing this at cost.
At the same press conference in the White House briefing room, Mulvaney acknowledged for the first time that there was a link between investigations President Trump was pressing Ukraine to look into and the U.S. withholding $400 million in aid to the country. But Mulvaney said it wasn't about Hunter Biden, but about an unfounded suspicion that a hacked Democratic National Committee computer server had been hidden in Ukraine.
The look back to what happened in 2016 certainly was part of the thing that he was worried about in corruption with that nation. And that is absolutely appropriate.
The United Kingdom and the European Union have agreed on a draft divorce deal for the UK to leave the EU. But Brexit isn't over yet. The next big challenge comes on Saturday when Parliament votes on whether to approve British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's plan. Our Jason Douglas says it'll be a tall order for Johnson, especially as he faces dissent from a key ally, Northern Ireland's Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP.
If he manages to keep all his own party on board, and he's had some trouble with them, of course, in the past, it might be possible. He kicked out 21 conservative lawmakers for making trouble around Brexit before. He might be able to somehow persuade them to get back on board. That would bring him close to majority. But what he really would need then, particularly without the DUP, would be for a bunch of opposition lawmakers to back his plan as well. The gamble there is that these guys and their constituents will be so fed up with Brexit that they will agree to his plan just to get it all over and done with.
The UK is currently scheduled to leave the EU on October 31st. Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings, a longtime advocate for civil rights and a leader in the Democratic caucus, died Thursday at the age of 68 due to longstanding health issues. Cummings, who had served in Congress since 1996, was the chairman of the powerful House Oversight and Reform Committee and led multiple investigations into President Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said he was a North Star in Congress.
He lived the American dream, and he wanted it for everyone else. He spoke with unsurpassed clarity and moral integrity when he spoke on the floor.
Joining me now from the Capitol is Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews. Natalie, what are you hearing from Cummings' colleagues today?
You know, people are really pointing out that Elijah Cummings was someone who worked to build relationships. And that is one thing that Washington has lost a bit. Members come in and out and go back to their districts, and they don't build those friendships that can be so integral to passing legislation, to solving conflicts. And Cummings really had friends with people who Democrats on the whole did not necessarily like. Trey Gowdy, who led the Benghazi Select Committee, Elijah Cummings was the top Democrat on that committee, and Trey Gowdy tweeted today that Elijah Cummings was a dear friend, and that while they had their disagreements, as soon as they left the room, that friendship was back. Mark Meadows, same thing. He's a far-right conservative Republican ally of Trump, but the two had a deep ongoing friendship.
We also heard from President Trump, who likewise tweeted his condolences today. Cummings was also instrumental in Congress. He led several investigations as chair of the House Oversight Committee, including into the president. Natalie, tell us about his work there.
Really, the moment that he became oversight chairman in January, he started investigating the Trump administration, and not just the Trump administration, but the President Trump's family and personal finances. He was looking at how White House security clearances were issued, because there were some questions raised there. He also was leading hearings on the administration's separation of children at the border. And he also had a court case that was attempting to get the president's financial records. They actually had a victory last week in court that ruled in the Democrats' favor. So there's all these things that, even while the impeachment inquiry has been getting a lot of news, the Oversight Committee has been working a lot behind the scenes in looking at the president's personal business dealings and his time in office. Elijah Cummings said when he took the gavel to chair the Oversight Committee, he said he was going to look at all of the issues and moments that Democrats had taken issue with since Donald Trump took office, and that's really what he started doing.
Cummings grew up in a segregated Baltimore and spent his life advocating for his city.
Yeah, Elijah Cummings, well known nationally as a voice who spoke out against government corruption and who rose in the ranks of the Oversight Committee, he represented Baltimore in a way that really showed that he loved the city he came from. He was known for going back and forth to Baltimore every day. He didn't have another apartment in the city. And while it's an hour, hour and a half drive, it's still a long way to go. But Elijah Cummings, one story that really stood out to me was in 2015 when there were riots and people in Baltimore were very upset over the death of Freddie Gray, who died in police custody. Elijah Cummings took to the streets with a bullhorn and was telling people, let's go home, let's not riot. He said the riots made him very sad. But at the same time, he gave a speech at Freddie Gray's funeral and spoke to the disparity that Black people were feeling in the community. And he was really able to bring that home to people.
You heard the first time he read something, and you went and told your mama, my mama, that boy can read. And you watched him grow. And as I thought about the cameras, I wondered, did anybody recognize Freddie when he was alive?
Quite a leader advocating for his community. Any final thoughts you can share today?
That Congress lost a giant today, and that is weighing very heavily on people here. We've seen people come and go. We see a lot of personalities in Congress, but Elijah Cummings was a giant who could unite a room, could make a point with an incredible speech that could make even the person who disagreed with him most just stop and think. And those are few and far between in Congress, and I think that's felt today.
Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you.
For more on the life and legacy of Representative Elijah Cummings, please visit our website, wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.